This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. This is C.A. Nuri and I shall be your host today. And today is January 20th and it's Friday and we have a special guest for you. We're kind of excited about this because we have one of the trailblazers, one of the leaders of community men in the Bahamas, right? And I'm here to tell his story because he is doing some wonderful acts inside the Bahamas where he's being praised nationally, internationally, and he's being recognized for basically assisting our youth that are at risk, right? So I wanted to celebrate him today and I welcome him today because this is an important exchange and I said, man, I got to bring you on. But without further ado, I bring Ian Moore. And I just want him to physically introduce himself so we can know who he is.
All right. Good morning. Thank you very much. You did such a good job there. People probably think I pay you a couple of dollars for that, man. I feel good about it myself.
You still do that.
All right, then. Well, thank you for being here. My brother and classmate, we've been knowing each other from since we was young people.
Yes.
But I am Ian Mora. I've been doing... I do a number of things. People also know me as Bongo, Bongo Iron. And my whole mission is the advancement of all humanity, but in particular, those of African and African descent.
Yes. And I want people to realize and to recognize that you are the principal at Shore.
Oh, yes.
I want you to explain what Shore is.
Okay.
And then I'll start pontificating on why it's so significant.
Not a problem. Program Shore is the Ministry of Education's program for at-risk young men between the ages of 13 and 16. It has been in operation now since 1996. At the time, Dr. Bernard Nottage was the Minister of Education, and he commissioned some individuals to come up with something to respond to the social ills that the school system was facing from that time. And Program Shore was the result. It's been an evolving program, mainly because the nature of the challenge that we're dealing with has evolved over time. But as of late, we intend to introduce some new aspects to the program to focus it more about empowering those young men. I guess we'll talk about that a little bit later, but we want for every single student that passes through Program Shore, because they're not on track for a diploma, they're not on track to be academic. So we need to get them from early to be exposed to certain trades. And thanks to the team from BTVI, specifically Mr. Darvill, we are working, Mr. Darvill and Ms. Major, we are working together now to ensure that every single student that leaves Program Shore, to the best of our ability, has a job readiness training and also a certificate in a particular trade. So our whole objective is to empower the young men and give them a chance so that when they do decide to turn their lives around, they're not starting from zero or from a negative. They're actually starting from one.
And you mentioned the term at risk. Allow me to appreciate that. What do you mean by at risk?
Well, I'm glad that you raised that, because at risk is a very broad area. We all at risk of something. But specifically what we're talking about is students who, male students who demonstrate antisocial behavior. In general, they challenge authority. They are often involved in gangs. They often use weapons. And in order to get into program show up, there has to be proof showing that the school has tried all that it can with these young men, and the challenges that they display go beyond the school's capacity. And so they send them to our environment where the focus is more on targeting this behavior and seeing how we can change their mindset and their outlook. So our programming consists of some academics, but we focus more on remediation. So many of the guys that come to us are operating way below their grade level. And so we test them to see where they are when they come in, and our teachers work with them to help them to improve. SURE actually is an acronym. It stands for Success Ultimately Reassures Everyone. I've adopted that even in my life from a long time ago because it really works. Once you start to give people a taste of success and get them to believe that they can make their own success happen, then it does change people's outlook. I'm not saying it's a panacea, but it does help to change people's outlook. The thing about it, though, is that change is a process, and that's something that we have to get the wider society to really accept. Even the parents, sometimes they want to drop their children off on that first day of school and then come back, and somehow they have a transformed child. And I have to show them often that that's not possible. What I can do is work with you. Because in our program, the students are there upwards to one academic year, right? But they have options every 3 months that they are there to meet the criteria to return to school. But upwards to a year, they can stay there with us. In the 12-week period that we really target the behavior, it is impossible to change your behavior 180 degrees if you walk in west to now go to be walking east. But what we want to do is help them understand the value in changing the way, the direction that they're going, give them support along that journey, that transition, but also include the parents in it. Because oftentimes what we do is point the finger at the parents when really and truly we don't have that luxury really, because parents struggle also. And so when we start to point the finger at them and have expectations of them that they are unable to meet, whether it's their fault or whatever it is, we focus on, okay, how do we fix this challenge? And a lot of times it really comes down to being a translator, helping that frustrated parent understand what's going on with their frustrated child so that we can have this journey. Because with us at Program SURE, instead of that 180, we're only looking for perhaps a 90-degree a turn towards the right direction. But with the parent's help, the parent now knows what are the triggers, what are the issues going on with their child, and they can assist their child in going the rest of the remainder 90% or so, or 90 degrees that they would have to go in to really make that transition.
So you and your team deals with bad boys?
No.
These are rejected boys out of the classroom to say, hey, I can't do it, I give up.
Well, that's exactly the mindset that we are hoping to change. Mm-hmm. We have to take, for example, let's look at it like this. If your son or your daughter has measles, right, you take them somewhere where someone who has the knowledge in how to deal with that, a doctor for measles, can address what your child is experiencing. If we see them as bad children, anytime our brains are wired in such a way that we operate on labels. So anytime we label them as bad children, the services that we're going to offer them is going to be very different from if we see them as a child in need of some additional help.
You use the word SURE as a program. Is it a school? Where they go to school 9 to 3, there's some academics, reading, writing, arithmetic, and I know you mentioned some kind of trade school.
Right.
So what is SURE? And I also want to know how big it is in terms of how many students Okay. There exists.
Okay. As a, so Shaw is a program and not a school. Mm-hmm. That's another tough sell that we're trying to get across to people, because being teachers, automatically people think within that framework of school. Fortunately for me, my experience with the Indaba Project and the other things I did before entering the education system helped me to look at it through a different lens and understand what a program is about. And so, whereas academics is a part or some of the tools that we use to help in the transition, it is not only left to that. So what is it that a student experiences when it comes to programs? Sure. We have a bus that picks them up and drops them home.
What do you mean by pick them up? Pick them up from where?
Pick them up from their doorstep.
Okay.
You know, and that same bus takes them home to their doorstep. All right. Mm-hmm. They come to us. They have to wake up from 6 o'clock in the morning.
6 a.m. in the morning. 6 a.m.
in the morning. And the bus, this is not a taxi service. The bus is going to pull up to your home. Beep, beep. Give you about 3 or 4 seconds to get out of there. If you don't come out or acknowledge him, he goes on, because he has to travel around almost the entire island to get everyone to the program for 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. At 8 o'clock, we line them up and we make sure that it's more for all of their safety. We search them to make sure that everything is legit with them. We now have Defense Force officers who are there to support us. And trust me, I am so grateful to those Defense Force officers and mainly their consistency. So they come in and they do like an inspection to make sure everybody's wearing their uniform properly, and engage them from 8 to about 8:45. At 8:45, we give them about 10 minutes to get a little breakfast. Then we go into homeroom and we have our academic sessions, which go up to 2:30. Now, on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at 2:30, the Defense Force comes in and they do an extended session with them with drills and workouts, and it is rough, right? And it is meant to be rough, all right? And so we don't disrespect them. We don't abuse them. But we give them a challenge so that they can see that they are capable of more than what they think that they are capable of. And oftentimes when they come to me when the Defense Force making them do these push-ups and stuff, it's just about helping them to understand. If your arm is hurting because the Defense Force help you do push-up, that's the gases operating in your body that releasing the weakness and building muscle. And furthermore, if you are somebody who was on the school campus and you involved in gangs, you're all running people and doing all sorts of other things to people, we're not doing that to you. If you could stand the rigors of what you do to each other, then you could definitely stand the rigors of the Defense Force. And we know that going through that will help to build your discipline and help to build your character. And so that's how it runs for the whole day. In addition to that, we also, well, the government, that is, provides lunch for the students. Mm-hmm. Because the thing about it is, when this program began, it wasn't just willy-nilly. It was an assessment that was done based on the challenges that the students face. Students face a challenge getting to school. Students face a challenge when they come to school having food. And so the program is set up in a way to alleviate those challenges so that we can get down to what we need to, which is instilling discipline, empowering them academically, empowering them with skills, and then finally giving them an appreciation for what it is to live here in the Bahamas, be here in the Bahamas, and their role / responsibility in continuing that and building on that.
Carl, I see you, and I'm going to come to you shortly, but let me ask Ian Bongo this, right? How does one get their child enrolled in Shore? I know there's a boys' industrial school, and I'm not even sure how people get their children there, mm-hmm. right? Simpson Penn, I think it's called.
Right.
And now you're saying there's a program that is Shore for for young boys who need discipline
right?
In a setting. And you mentioned that they have a year in the program and that they can stay,
right?
And I want to know, basically, from your point of view, from a principal, and then the point of view of the institution of Simpson Penn, what's the difference? Oh. And of course, how does one get enrolled inside the program?
Okay, so a lot of times we as citizens, we just don't know. And one of the things that I've realized lately is that it's not that the government doesn't provide things, but the government perhaps doesn't do a good a job as they can. And I'm not talking political party. I'm talking about the institution of government, mm-hmm. those things that don't change. Ministry of Education, the workers, the Ministry of Social Services, there are things that are there, but somehow the public doesn't really know of these facilities that's going on. So the difference between Program Shore and a Simpson Penn. Simpson Penn are for those individuals for whom their parents say, this child is too much for me to handle and I require some assistance. Or for those young people, I think it's below the age of 17, who have committed actual crimes. So the courts would have to send them to Simpson Penn. There are instances in an effort to show leniency, the court has sent the students to us at Program Shore to work with them. And then if not, then Simpson Penn becomes an option for the court. And so when it's talking about addressing the behaviors of students, there is a connection between us and Simpson Penn. We basically deal with the same types of boys, but the students that are the young people that are at Simpson Penn require in-house, mm-hmm. so they don't leave. Mm-hmm. Our students go home at the end of the day. In order to get into Simpson Penn, it has to be through social services, the court, the police. In order to get into Program Shore, a guidance counselor slash principal would work with a student, and if they, all that they have done first, it's in-house, in a school. They do like the in-school suspension, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. If that doesn't work, then they send them to another government program, which is Refocus, mm-hmm. which is aligned with the churches. They send them there for about 2 weeks or so. Then they return to school. If that doesn't work, then they send them to us at Program Shore. Now, the difference between us and even Simpson Penn and the other programs is that we're structured in a way where you have to work to get back to school. And this is where the difference between the 12 months and the 1 year, the 12 weeks, sorry, and the 1 year come in. Our program is set up to recycle over 12 weeks. Mm-hmm. But what ends up happening is that during most times during that first 12 weeks, the students are just acclimatizing. Mm-hmm. They're just opening up to us at that time. Mm-hmm. And so it takes them another maybe 2, 4, 3 months to really get where they need to be. So and for some more hardened students, it takes even a longer time than that. After we have held them with us for a year, we've really exhausted all the resources that we have. And at this point, the student is being deprived of some of the regular education. Most times you would find that students make some progress, but then we send them back into the school environment. If they are not operating the way that they should, we've just begun something where the schools can send them back to us to start the program over if they're not getting, if they're not demonstrating the type of behavior that's required both for them to learn and to keep the school environment safe. So the counselors send them to Program Shore or the school, and in order to get into Program Shore, there has to be two options, which is one, the school has attempted to work with you and nothing has worked, or that you commit a level 4 offense. The ministry has a safe school manual in which they have the infractions that students would make at different levels. If you make a level 4, which is like carrying a weapon to school, then it's automatic that you come to Program Shore. And sometimes you find a student might be a good student. He's never had any other problems at all. But his friend got beat up the day before, and his friend convinced him to carry a knife to school because the friend is known to the the school authorities. So he asked his friend, who ain't known to the school, man, carry this little knife from her so that we could be protected. That student ends up being searched and found with the knife. Well, it's unfortunate for him. But because of the choice that he has made, he has been with us. He has to come with us. He might not necessarily need to be removed from school society based on when you look at the context. So for those types of students, this is why we want our empowerment to be, or our program to be about empowerment instead of punishing. A student like that doesn't need punishing. A student like that needs empowerment. And that's what our program is about. We have a Defense Force officer who works with us now, McPhee. He actually was a past program show student.
Okay.
Yeah, he actually, for me, helped me to understand that instead of worrying about whether or not a student should be in program show when they are sent there, because of course at that time I was a teacher, instead of being emotional about that, try to empower this person so that their experience with us could lead towards opening doors. And there are at least two Defense Force officers who would have passed through program show, and the experience that they had with us helped them to be able to get where they are. In order to move from one level to the next in our program, the students have to learn an affirmation. I am not a mistake. I am worthy of love. I am powerful, confident, and capable of achieving my dreams. I am trustworthy. I am reliable. I am responsible. I can be counted on. They have to know this out their head in order to progress through the program. Because what I was originally saying was that you have to earn the right to return to school. It's not like, okay, you're with us for 12 weeks, and at the end of that 12 weeks, you just go back. Because a lot of the young men that we experience, they understand by going from program to program, all I got to do is lay low for this 12 weeks, then I could go back and cause havoc. So with our methods and strategies, it forces them to have to work towards going back, and it's through that work that the development, the change comes in.
Okay. I see we have a caller here. Let's see if we can patch that caller through. Let me see if I can do that. And then I press this button. Caller, can you hear me?
Hey. This is Nuri.
How you doing, man? Good.
Man, you all need up my 5 minutes off that phone.
Forgive me. I saw it blinking. And I say, I gotta come to you. I gotta come to you.
You and Murray, man.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I don't notice this. What you saying, brother?
I know you don't. I already eat my 5 minutes up on my cell phone, man.
But the phone is all yours. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. No, Murray.
Yes, sir.
Murray.
Yes, sir.
Me and OB right now, he OB in Atlantis, trying to work something for me to come up there permanent, man.
Okay.
To complete my assignment.
Okay, not a problem.
I never did finish it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, financial things wasn't in place, so.
Right.
Be trying to work on something now for me to come up there.
Yes, sir.
And finish what I got to do concerning them young fellas.
Not a problem. You know, we welcome partnerships with the community, whether it's an individual that has time or a service organization or even a business. Because in order for us to get to where we need to be, we have to develop these social networks. I know a little something, you know a little something, and by putting it all together, then we form this mesh that is able to catch those individuals who fall in through the cracks. So, you used to be in my room when you was there, so the door opened.
I've been up there, you know, I do 13 years up there, man.
Yes, sir.
I know. But... yeah, like I said, I said, hold on, that's Marion. Oh, Lord. Mm-hmm. I got to go then. Hey, but Siri.
Hey.
Guess what?
Go ahead.
I can touch you tomorrow.
Call me.
Yeah, I can touch you tomorrow.
Yeah, man. Much love.
Okay, bro.
I have a text here that says, good morning, Cecil. I actually guess if they are affiliated with shock treatment, the shock treatment program, and how do you feel about that? I know there's a lot of... opinions about the shock treatment program. And this particular texter wants to know your honest opinion about how their approach. Go ahead.
Okay. So first of all, just now I was talking about a social network. Mm-hmm. We do not have the luxury at this time, honestly, from where I sit, For those who are putting effort in to addressing this problem, we don't have the luxury to just simply criticize and throw out the baby with the bathwater. Mm-hmm. Now, people should understand that shock treatment, and I'm sure a lot of people will be surprised to hear me say this, but in any event, shock treatment, what most people are familiar with, is the show shock treatment and not the practice shock treatment. What they do with the actual show is grab some sensational aspects of what the young man went through, because the purpose of the show is to act as a deterrent. And so they are intentionally showing things that they figure will act as a deterrent. But what the young men get when they are part of shock treatment is way more than what the cameras show. So one, let's be fair about that. I think in the discourse about shock treatment, somehow that gets a little lost, mm-hmm. right? Now, in terms of what is happening in shock treatment, they're trying to be impactful in a short period of time. That lasts about a week, all right? That is a strategy. And as Dr. Reed says, there are some successes that come out of that program. So we can knock that. But we cannot expect with social challenges to have a magic bullet. That there's one thing that once we shoot that solves all the problems. And I think many people who are not directly involved in what we are doing, that's their expectation. All right. So what happens at shock treatment might not necessarily be my style or might not happen at the program where I am principal. But that is because the nature of the programs are different. My students are with me from 3 months to a year. His clients are with him for only about a week or two. Mm-hmm. And so instead of criticizing him, like I said, we don't have the luxury. Instead of criticizing him, and we are beginning to do this now, as a matter of fact, he just called me. Night before last, and we were on the phone talking about a particular student and what needs to happen. Because what we have to do, we don't have the luxury of sitting down fighting each other and both of us working towards the same goal. Myself, Troy in the LEAD Institute, mm-hmm. Dr. Fox, Dr. Reed, and a multiplicity of other individuals. We have to work together, mm-hmm. and we have to complement each other. Because I see the world through an African lens, through a traditional African lens, I can say that complementarity is a big thing for me, and we have to use that to replace competition. What Western society teaches us is if I'm doing something and you are doing something, we have to compete with each other. And you know what ends up happening? When we're dealing with the young people and we compete, all of us lose. The children lose, I lose. But when we begin to work together, then we can say we will have greater efficacy, because what I don't catch, perhaps LEAD will catch. What LEAD doesn't catch, perhaps Carlos Reed will catch. And what Carlos Reed doesn't catch, the Refocus program would catch. And by working together and having discussions, then we get a greater understanding of what the problem is, and not just from our silos or from our particular perspective. And that way we can attack the problem from all sides and do what needs to happen.
Okay. Ian, you were specifically chosen for this job. They went searching and they sought you out, mostly because of your concept of Ubuntu, you are important because you exist,
right?
Type concept, that African concept.
Right.
You are a teacher by trade. You went to school, university, and concluded to become a teacher.
Right.
And I'm not sure if people can actually see who you are, but you are a Rastafarian.
Yes, sir.
Right? You are a lion. I mean, people who do not know you will consider you intimidating.
Dread right? at the control.
Yeah. Bongo Iron is your name.
And yes, sir.
People know you as being a man's man.
Right.
But you have for lack of a better word, a softer nature. Mm-hmm. Right? And I want to, at this segment of the show, I want to explain to the listening audience your journey,
right?
So they can appreciate who you are, your education, your concepts, and how did you eventually become and was considered and sought out to be the principal of Shore, this particular program, right? You mentioned Indaba.
Right.
Explain that.
Okay. The Indaba, when I returned from university in 2000, maybe that was 2001, I'd gone to university, and while there, the University of the West Indies, Cave Hill, Barbados, while there, I became the president of the Students Guild. Mm-hmm. And then I had a girlfriend who approached me about starting a volunteer corps at the school. Well, this is my girlfriend. I was the president. That happened. But instead of just putting money towards it, I got involved. This is my girlfriend. I won't be with her. But when I went there, there was a young, this was a children's home in Barbados, and they had a young man who was a, the students who were there, the children who were there were supposed to be 12 and under. This young man was 16, but because he had some learning challenges, he was left with these young people. Now, because of his age and size, he began dominating the other young children who was there. And only women worked at the home. And so they were a little intimidated by him also. Well, when I went there, we just worked together. It wasn't hard. He did the challenges that he gave me. That he gave other people, I didn't get them. And that sort of tipped my hat. And say, you know, this is something I liked doing it. So I started off going because my girlfriend was involved, and then I eventually just started. I kept going on my own, you know, and so that was the first thing that really put me on this kind of a track. Then I returned home. Initially, I wanted to continue that. Being a Rasta in that sort of time, honestly, and as I look back now, it's kind of foolish of me, but sometimes your footsteps are ordered beyond your personal choice, and I honestly feel that is what happened to me. So I came home, and I was interested in being impactful. You know how it is when you first come from university, you want to do something. You want to get out.
You're in Change the Bahamas.
Yeah, and you know, and you're perfectly idealistic to do it too. You know, you ain't got no bills. You ain't got no responsibility. Yes. So, yes, I'm going to change the world.
Yes.
You know, and I'm going to change the Bahamas. Well, I started going to the Ranfurly home at first. And eventually I stopped doing that because I started with the Grantstown after school program. That's how I got there. And I eventually stopped dealing with the Ranfurly home. I'm not going to get into why.
I understand.
But I moved. I dedicated my free time towards the Grantstown after school program. While in university, I have my degree is in history and political science.
Yes.
One of the things that I'd learned in university was that the way that the world was going to be moving in the 21st century was politically, if you want to have a voice, there is a vehicle called a nonprofit organization that allows you to do that. Right. And so we went from the Grantstown after school program to the Indaba Project, which is a registered nonprofit organization in the Bahamas. All right. While there, I realized that it would be useful for me to have some sort of certification in education because we were dealing with young people. The Indaba Project now, let me just stay there for a moment. The Indaba Project is started off as an after-school program for the youth in Grantstown. When I started, we were in the headquarters of Bradley Roberts on Kwaku Street. But then we eventually moved to actually a property owned by the Walker family, Mabel and C.R. Walker, their children. We use that property, and we had an after-school program there, and we saw children that came to us for basically, I guess, about a generation. They would have started in grade 1, and we saw them straight up to grade 12. Mm-hmm. As they got older, we understood that we had to respond to the needs. We have people who were 5 and 6, and they were excited to be there. But then when they turned 13, 14, 15, they had other challenges, other perspectives, and so we had to develop something to sort of keep their attention, and that's where we develop our camp. It's called Tonga Itonga Sana Island Stewards Camp, where we would take young people from the inner city, some of them had never left the island, and take them to a number of islands. One year we went to Andras. We swam in every body of water we could find. We swam in the Great Bahama Bank. We swam in the Tongue of the Ocean. We swam in every blue hole possible. Mm-hmm. Then and when we took them, we didn't go during any regatta time. We went during the lull time so that we could experience these places.
I'm going to come back to that because right. you've been doing big things, right. impactful things to inner city youth where they have memories of someone caring and someone taking interest. But we have our break now. We're going to take a short break and we're going to come back and return to Ian Morrow, Bongo Iron, who's the principal of Shaw. And I'm going to ask him, what happened to Grand Bahama Shaw? Look like they closed down. I need to know. No, you can't talk now. We're going to come back to break. I want to know what you're doing then. But we'll be right back.
J.S. Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service, they've been on the scene, protecting since 1919. J.S. Johnson Insurance has the best. Always, you're always covering me. J.S. Johnson Insurance, peace of mind.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. And I have an interesting guest, a dynamic guest, a guest that is being sought after by a number of, I don't even know the right word, but people helping people program, right? And he's a trailblazer. He approached it differently, approached it by respect our youth. And with that respect, he shows them love. And we're talking about that. We're talking about how he got to be the principal of Shaw. And before the break, I mentioned that Shaw in Grand Bahama is seemingly closed, right? And I want to know what's happening there. I know the hurricane came by, it destroyed the property, and but you are here and you're doing things here. But what about Grand Bahama?
Okay, so let me say, this program Shaw in Grand Bahama is alive and well. It is being run by Mr. Ricardo Major, who is a dynamic musician, teacher, educator, who works with the young men even outside of regular time. His strategies are a little bit different from mine, but I wouldn't say different because we complement each other, but he does something different at Program Shaw in Grand Bahama, but with the same aim. Now, why you would see hear about them less right now, I would imagine, is because they were impacted by the hurricane. I had the good fortune of going there last year mm-hmm. and seeing their operation and what they used to be doing compared to what they are doing now. Mm-hmm. They had hydroponics. They had the fish farm go nice. In. And when the hurricane came, it just washed everything away. And so now they have to develop everything again, you know. But Mr. Major is still there with his team. And even though his the tools that he has would have been diminished, he is a dynamic individual. And he's using what he has to get through to the young men there. But it's still in operation. As a matter of fact, he is even giving himself some extra tools at the moment to kind of offer the same empowerment in terms of exposure to trades mm-hmm. for the young men that are in Grand Bahama. But I heard people say about the LEED Institute down there. Mm-hmm. I would imagine that the institutions would work together. As a matter of fact, both Mr. Major and I, that's how I ended up in Grand Bahama, we did a course that was offered by the LEED Institute in Grand Bahama, and that's where I saw what was going on. And Mr. Major was also a part of that. Mm-hmm. And so I can say that they are working together. People often think in terms of competing one or the other, when really and truly, once you put years into dealing with behavior modification, you understand the more help you can get, the better it is for you.
I want to go back to the Indaba project and what you've been doing, especially mm-hmm. with the traveling through the family island. Mm-hmm. But I would be remiss, because you mentioned Grand Bahama and their project, the hydroponics of it, what type of skills program that Shaw has here, the local Shaw, in terms of trade and stuff like that?
Well, like I said, last term, we began a food handler certificate. Mm-hmm. It is an international certificate that students, even if they were to leave the Bahamas and they wanted to get into food handling, perhaps a restaurant, hotel, as a waiter, they would have something under their belt, the certificate that allows mm-hmm. them to be employable. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we've been doing that from September. We got that, and we were able to do that. I would be remiss if I didn't say we were only able to do that through partnership with the community. Institutions like the Rotary Club, J.S. Johnson Insurance, all supported us so that we could offer that certificate to the students free of charge.
And you spoke about partnering. How can companies, businesses, people in general Bahamas can support Shore?
Well, what they can do is contact us 341-2959 or 341-2958. They can contact us. And what I personally like is for people to see what it is that we're doing. I want them to see our agriculture plot. I want them to see our chickens that we're using to produce eggs, which I'm quite excited about, mm-hmm. actually. We got
Do
more.
You have eggs?
No, I ain't going to say that publicly.
Because I won't buy eggs now because that $8 thing ain't working.
The thing is that we have more customers than eggs right now.
I understand.
We have more customers than eggs because of what's happening and yes. a number of variables.
The demand is
great. Right, but we're increasing our capacity as we speak, mm-hmm. right? So there's egg production. We sometimes produce cookies, and mm-hmm. all of these things are done by the students.
The students do this?
The students do this. And take a young man who you put him in language class, he fidgety. You put him in math class, or he might be fidgety. But you put him in that kitchen, put that apron and that hat on him. Mm-hmm. And I got to say hats off to all my staff members. But Mr. Williams, who does the hospitality, has a special gift in dealing even with the roughest of students mm-hmm. Based on how he structures his class and the exposure that he gives them and the excitement that he brings that helps them to want to do this. They light up. And so we can even use it as an incentive or even consequence. If you don't do this, you won't be able to cook. Mm-hmm. But we try to get the young men to be involved as much as possible in everything that we produce, because the whole idea is to help them to understand that there are ways that you can make money. You can go to the shop, or most people's home have flour in it. They got some sort of margarine or butter in it. They got some sort of, baking powder. And you can actually take these things, put them together, and convert that into something that is sustainable.
I'm going to quickly ask, so you have a program, a connection with BTVI?
Yeah, we are developing that right now. Mm-hmm. It's not going to get off the ground until January 30th.
Mm-hmm. January 30th of this year.
Of this
year. So right.
Soon. And if Ms. Major is listening, Ms. Major, soon. Yeah, I say that soon. Publicly, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So, we're working with them. There is a program that the government offers for young men who traditionally are 16, 17, may have dropped out of school or may have finished school, especially during the pandemic, and not be employable, not have skills. And so there's this Jumpstart program that they offer through BTVI, mm-hmm. and BTVI has been gracious enough to offer the same opportunity to our students.
Nice.
And hopefully, as time goes on, we can complement each other and eventually be a feeder program towards that.
Okay, I want to go back to the DABA project. Back again, and we only have about 4 or 5 minutes left. Mm-hmm. Does that still exist?
The Endava project still exists. As a matter of fact, Hands for Hunger just donated some bikes to us. Mm-hmm. And we sent those bikes to Red Bays in Andras for the children in that community. And so we don't operate the after-school program consistently anymore, but there are still things that we do. One of the ways that we raise money to do these things was recycling bottles and cans. Mm-hmm. We still do that now, especially with Sands. They're the only ones, I think, really recycling bottles. Mm-hmm. But we, through cleaning up our communities, we realized that we could turn that into cash. Mm-hmm. And so for the children who were in that program, that is what we did. We converted that. And that's how we paid in part to be able to go on those summer camps to the various islands.
So, does Endava Project still go to the family islands?
No. Unfortunately, we are no longer able to do that. Our heart is there, but logistically, it's
busy.
Exactly. You know, life has sort of changed. At that time, I had no children. Now I got 4, mm-hmm. you know. So, my life is the after school program now. So, we don't necessarily continue in that way. But the Endava Project is much more than a nonprofit organization. It's a community. And so the community stays in contact. One of our students just the other day did a trying to raise some funds, what they call like GoFundMe or something like that, to pay for her university fees. Well, of course, we still have funds through the collecting of cans and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So we made a contribution towards that, you know. And so we are committed to helping them achieve their dreams, but also helping them to be able to appreciate the beauty of their blackness while they are achieving their
dreams. How important
is that? That is super, 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 super important, because by doing that, you are not only able to be excellent, but you're able to look at life through a different lens. The concept of Ubuntu, I am because we are, mm-hmm. takes us away from competing to complementing each other. Mm-hmm. And so just that simple, fundamental thing to expose people to it is fundamental towards having a positive outlook. And so being able to appreciate who you are, mm-hmm. how you speak, how you look, what your heritage is, letting them know what their heritage is. Blackness is not a mistake. Blackness is not something that you should look down on as society. That your hair is not bad hair. Your hair is different, and it makes you unique. And so through the after-school program, through the Endava Project, these are themes and ideas that we sponsor, and that is led by a very, I mean, a powerful brother, Thomas M. Toma Claire. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be who I am today if I had not had such contact with him to help me see the world through a whole different lens.
Okay, music is starting to play, but I want to give Claire's number out just in case there are persons out there who wants to support the Endeavor Project and make a donation. If you have a seller's phone number, can you give that out?
Okay, I wouldn't want to give out his number.
Claire's without, give everybody his phone number, man.
No, man, I ain't get his permission, but I'll give my number. I'll give my number.
Go ahead,
because
quickly.
I'm his number two, I guess.
Quickly,
you know, 449-8016. 449-8016. That's Ian Mora. And you can use that both for the Endapa Project, or if you want to find out more information or get involved in the great things we're doing at Program Shore.
This has been Guardian Radio in the AM with C.A. Nuri. Thanks very much, Ian. Have a
huge difference to retailers.